Hello and welcome to Super Saturdays, a comic book media podcast, where each episode we focus on your favorite comic books, TV shows, and movies to figure out if these projects will stand the test of time. I'm your host, Damon A, and I am joined by...
I'm Jasmine, live and in color.
Can y'all hear me? Okay.
Wait. Let me do the applause. There we go. Applause. Ooh. You heard that?
No, but...
Oh, okay, well, it played. It's on the recorder, so I hope it played. But on with the show. Okay, so happy to have you back, Jasmine. You are a friend of the show, returning guest. Happy to have you on.
Happy to be here.
Of course. On top of that, it was Soups. Yes, me and Jasmine are friends, but like I've never met her in person until last week at Motor City Comic Con. Right. At the time of this recording, it was last week, but when it airs, this is going to be like 2 weeks ago now. So, but anyways, last week. So it was good to see you there. It's good to feel like hanging out and everything.
Right.
It was fun. We got a lot of shit from there. Literally, seriously, I got a lot of shit. I posted a video about what I got, but yes, you got Wonder Woman blessed, didn't you? Or like statue?
If the people are watching, can I get it? Can I? Right. Got a
Love
Wonder
that.
Woman statue here.
Love that.
The iconic cover. Got a bunch of stuff. A bunch. And if you can see behind me, I got a print from Sozo Micah. Shout out to her. And a print from Daniel Govar. So that was fucking cool as fuck. To actually go. That was my first Comic-Con. To actually go and get prints from the artist. It was sickening. I had fun.
I had a good time too. I got the same Sozo Micah print and then some other prints from some other artists. But the one artist that you got, I forget, what was his name? The one with the white background and the gold and everything?
Daniel Govar.
I'm jealous. I didn't have any monies in the bank account.
He was the first table I went to. I was like, oh, I gotta have that. That
gorgeous. Gorgeous fucking art. Like, gorgeous. Sickening. Okay, well, yes, we are doing an episode of Fuck, Marry, Kill. But it's not going to be like the one that everybody knows. It's going to be a little different. Yes, you kind of like came up with this episode almost. Actually, no. I'm going to give props. Marcus gave the idea for the name, which, love you. Love you, Marcus.
Shout out to Marcus.
Yeah, shout out to Marcus. But the idea for doing random issues, that was all you. So what's the story behind the random issues?
Well, you know I like to shop. So I took my happy ass down onto the thrift store. And as I'm checking out, my friend is like, aren't you comics? And I'm like, comics? Ears prick up, neuron activation, right. So I grab, they were Marvel comics, I think, that I grabbed. But it came with additional comics in the back because it's a thrift store. You get whatever you find. And I found three comics that we'll be doing today, two of which I'm holding in my hand.
We're doing two of the three. Well, actually, no, it was four initially, but we're doing two. We're doing two of the three that we were initially going to do. And we're also doing the first issue of Saga. And let's get into the rules of what this game is going to be. So we are playing a game of Fuck, Marry, and Kill. Not the regular one. So there's going to be a couple of different rules to really abide by with this version of the game. So we got three issues, three random issues. It could be in the middle of a storyline. It could be at the beginning of a storyline. And if you want to fuck or, you know, F the book, then, you know, it's great. It's fun. I loved it. I'll get to it when I get to it. If I like got an itch that needs to be scratched, then yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and do it.
Right.
Mary, this is wholesome. This is fun. I feel like this is going to be something I can vibe with moving forward. And then Kill. Chop.
Chop. It's a chop.
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 Chop. All right. Well, so let's talk about the first issue we got here. First issue we got here is Unknown Soldier. So starting off, Yaz, okay, you know what?
You have thoughts.
What was your initial thoughts? What was your initial thoughts before I get mine?
My initial thoughts, I was like, first of all, never seen this many black people in a comic at one time. I was living for it. I opened it, I said, "Cracker Free." I said, "Girl, Cracker Free."
Not you opened the book and was like, "Where the niggas at? Where the niggas at?"
Where is the niggas? Okay. First of all, black people, great. So I sit down and read it. I was like, first of all, this is not what I thought it was going to be about. When I first saw, I was just scanning, so I wasn't like looking. But I saw a lot of brown, and I was living. But reading it, I was like, this is pretty fucking heavy and pretty fucking scary. And it's like, it's crazy. What were your thoughts?
That was my thoughts too. Like, I didn't know what to expect because Soup's like, "Yes, you shot me a text and just showed me the books." I did not know any of those books. All I knew was like, I think all the titles you sent me, they were Vertigo titles. And so when I saw Vertigo, I was like, okay, this is probably going to be good. That's number one.
Right.
And then on top of that, kind of like went blind. I didn't do any like research because like usually for shit on the show, I like do a little bit of research just to get like some idea. But no, I didn't do any research at all going into this book. And it was scary. It was also very like
horrifying.
Like horrifying, yes. A little uncomfortable, but like not in a bad way. Like I think it was supposed to be. And it also was very, something about it was very timely.
Yeah,
like it hit a little too close to home.
Yeah, especially now that we're living in a day and age where really everything is recorded and on camera, especially the worst parts of the, it was like, wow, really like in your face about it.
It was in your face. And then on top of that, like, I just liked, comics are a medium that's able to allow you to tell so many fucking stories. You can tell so many stories. Hell, if you are somebody who likes doing movies and shit, comics is the medium for you if you can't turn something into a movie. Mainly because of all the shot compositions. It's basically like a movie on page without the budget. Boom. And there's so many messages that you can tell through that medium. Through the art, but also through the writing. And this book invoked a lot of shit when I was reading it. I was just like, oh. Even down to like, you know what, like that part at the end where the unknown soldier, or I don't know if we even know his name.
Moses.
His name was Moses. Okay, that's what I thought. On top of that, not gonna lie, I was kind of confused reading it at first. I thought the Alamo story was a flashback.
Mm-hmm.
To him, but it ended up being like, no, this was concurrently happening and shit like that. But like the part where he like took the guns and he wrapped it in that UNICEF blanket, which allegedly it's UNICEF. Allegedly.
Listen,
for legal reasons, they couldn't put UNICEF fully on there, but like they put the NICEF on there. Fill in the gaps. Yep. Yeah, it's showing it to the screen for the people listening.
It says
yep.
It's NICEF. It's right.
Yep, NICEF. Obviously it's UNICEF because they fund guns. But I don't know. Like, this book was just very,
it's heavy. Especially like because it's involving itself in present conflicts that we're still seeing today.
Mm-hmm.
In Sudan, in Congo, it's well, I'm not gonna sit here and pretend like I'm African because I'm not, and I cannot speak for any, I can't speak on it, but I can give my opinion on things I see. What I'm trying to say is, I really don't know. It's just deep to insert itself into things we're seeing right now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I feel about, but inserting a character that is a savior, a fictional character that is a savior to these people, I don't know how I feel about that.
Really?
Like, it feels like those, like, wartime comics. Or, like, even Superman. Or, Superman fighting off Nazis. Wonder Woman fighting off Nazis. It's, like, it's very political. I don't know how to feel. It's very political. I'll say that.
It's very political. And, like, I also feel like I need more, like, context to fully give, like, opinion on what's going on. At the same time, though, I get what you're saying, though. Like, does it take away from the realness of the situation?
Yeah,
like, the realness of the situation and everything like that. I don't feel like it does, but I'm not African, so
we cannot speak for them and how they feel about this.
Here's a little synopsis of what happened in the story for Supes. So this is basically the prelude to the main story that's going to be going in following, this is issue number 7 of Unknown Soldier, volume 4. This is written by Joshua Dysart, and inks are by Alberto Ponticelli. And sorry if I butchered those names, but the story opens up. This is the synopsis. Alamo and his girlfriend travel to his old home to pick mangoes. Unfortunately, they stay too late and are captured by the rebels. The unknown soldier who desperately wants to kill Joseph Kony, the LRA's rebel leader, spots this event and intercedes. Besides several rifles, the unknown soldier manages to capture a solar-powered radio and a young man that can decode the LRA transmissions. Something about it is very eerie, and, like, on one hand, I kind of am curious about, like, who this unknown soldier is, because, like, a part of me wonders, is this also kind of like a commentary on, like, PTSD? Because he's talking about the voices in his head. He also is having these, like, flashbacks to the people that were murdered. And at the same time, though, I got a lot of questions. Now, I've just pulled up some information about the character. And his backstory was that he was a Ugandan doctor driven to becoming the unknown soldier to fight extremism in Africa. Sounds like a cool character on paper. But like you said, I don't know. I genuinely don't know. Now, I will say this, though. I'm curious. I'm very curious. It has piqued my interest. And I think something from a time, this is all the way back in 2008?
Yeah, 2008.
Something like this being talked about in 2008 is very surprising to me. Like, I wouldn't have thought this came out back then.
Yeah.
Like, were you surprised by that?
Yeah, I was like, this is very, you don't even see stuff like that now, barely. You don't see any coverage, anybody talking about what's going on anywhere in Africa. So for this comic to be out in 2008, I don't know, that's gaggy.
So the story takes place in, incredibly. The story takes place in 2002. I'm just looking up some stuff as they're talking about it. And yes, you brought up how, like, this felt like the writer did his research. He did. He spent time in Uganda in 2007 researching for this series. Okay, that's dedication. That's dedication. I will say it. Overall thoughts? I'm curious. I don't want to give a letter just yet to this one, though. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious. Mm-hmm. Like we said, this is a creepy story, but also very deep and emotional. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of confused. I love the subtle touches in the story and everything. Was there any thoughts you had in the book?
I really love the art. Harvard's great.
I had a love-hate relationship with Hart.
You do?
Yeah. Because there was moments where I was like, when the adults would pop up and they looked like children. And I was like, so wait, are these kids or are these adults? I was a little confused. I was. Like, not opposed to it. I was a little, just like a little bit, like a little smidgen. Just a little piece. Just a little piece.
It is very
I would
boring.
Say, like, you know, it is all right. It was okay. I liked it. I liked it, though. What's your final thoughts on this, Yaz?
I do like it. I'm interested.
Okay. Okay, okay.
I have one eyebrow up. I'm interested. I'm intrigued.
Okay, okay. So our next one is Voodoo Child. All right, and it was Dominique...
LeBeau?
I'm going to say LeBeau or LeBeau. I don't know.
LeBeau. I think it's LeBeau, yeah.
Here's a little synopsis for you, Soups. Lingering on the threshold between history and legend, the home of Mardi Gras and the birthplace of jazz, New Orleans is also known as the most haunted city in America. A town of centuries-old ghosts and new spirits of those drowned by Katrina, where Lupe Grails, vampires, and voodoo spirits make their home. Ruling over all of this are powerful voodoo queens whose influence stretches into politics, businesses, and crime as they maintain the delicate equilibrium between the mortal and spiritual worlds. Okay, this sounds dope. But that careful balance has been upset. The queen has been murdered, and Talun graduate student Dominique LeBeau is the number one suspect and marked for death. Okay, honestly, this was the crown jewel for me. This really was. I liked this story a lot. It just happened out of nowhere. All we know is that Dominique DeVoe, that's the person, that's her name. She's just thrusted into a trial of sorts. I didn't expect that shit from this book. I didn't.
I know.
Like, it just threw me out for a loop. I was like, okay. And then I also was kind of taken aback with, like, some of the black characters right when it opened up, especially, like, the... dude who was trying to like extort the kids for fucking rent, and he was like, what it do, shorty? And I'm like, excuse me, who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are you? And then also was kind of taken aback by the art in this one, though.
How'd you feel about the art?
I think the I liked the art, but early on, I want to say primarily the colorist was slipping. I'm not sure if there was different colorists or different like touch-up artists through it, but at the beginning, she looked white in a couple panels.
Yeah, she's pretty bare-skinned and actually kind of ashy-looking.
Wait a minute, not ashy.
This looks like... Well, she kind of looks a little washed.
Like a little bit, she does. I'm a little confused, and then they kind of like picked it up towards the end. It was a little inconsistent. I think with the art in this, I think there was just some inconsistencies. What was your thoughts on the art overall?
I really do like it a lot, especially this final page. It's just great.
I love that.
It's great. It has really great visual moments. It, like the snake, I was like, wow, this is, first of all, that snake scared the shit out of me when I, those eyes are scary, but this art is really great.
Something about the fact that,
the faces are a little crazy.
A little questionable.
Yeah, but other than that, it's great.
A little questionable, I'd say. Like, I will say the setting of it is very cool too, because it takes place 4 months after Hurricane Katrina. And meeting the little kids, Tasha and Tayshaun, was really interesting. I didn't really expect anything from this book. Mm. So, Soups, she basically does this like trial where she meets Papa Legba, and then she also meets Urzuli, who is like also part of Papa Legba, but then she also meets Baron Samandi, who is Death, basically. I was uncomfortable when she met Death, because why did he have to keep saying fucky fuck?
I know, not fucky fuck.
Like, he kept saying that over and over again. Like, what? And then I think he was French or Creole, the way he was talking.
Girl.
Like, because the way they, like, wrote it, whatever. And it was weird. It was so weird. So you talked about reading the rest of it. What was, like, your thoughts with that?
Surprisingly, just reading this single issue out of context makes much more sense than the story as a whole.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. It's sometimes like you're reading it, but then there's times you're like, what the fuck is happening? And who is this? And what are we talking about? I was surprised, like, because when I read this, I was like, oh, this is great. Let me go back and read the rest of the comics. And I'm like, I could have just left it at this, really. It's not that anything before was bad. It was just, this makes sense. They make sense as standalone, I think, issues, I think. But all together, you're kind of like, what? I don't know. It's just a little jumpy in places. And it gets a bit confusing. But other than that, I really do like it. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know anything about voodoo. I don't want to say anything, but... And I don't know if this is a good, like, representation of voodoo, but I did enjoy it.
I think it was cool. Like, I liked seeing it because we don't really get to see much of that, like, in regards to books or even, like, movies or whatever or anything like that when it comes to that interpretation of, like, magic and shit. So that was cool. That was interesting. This story left me wanting to, like, read more, wanting to learn more about that world and what the hell was going on. So I'm a little upset when you brought up how, like, his eye. I was like, damn, okay.
I don't know. I think you should give it a read. The rest of the, it's a mini series. I think it's only 7 issues. So I think giving the full run a try is fair. I think you should.
Okay. Okay. That sounds pretty dope as fuck.
Right.
It's a good story. Like, okay. But okay.
He's in some parts it's like, whoa. It is good.
I'm just left curious. Hmm. Any other final thoughts before we go on to Saga?
No. Oh, one more thought. Let black characters have natural black hair, like not straight hair.
She had a little bit of curl.
That was a body wave.
It was a little bit of curl, a little curvature.
2A maybe. 2A curl.
2A. 2A.
Maybe. 2A. Yes. 2A.
2A. Wait a second, sidebar. This is a complete sidebar. I'm gonna cut this out. Wait a minute. Yes, how did you go from having braids and now you back with your little like silk press? What?
My head was
black women. Black women. Black women.
My head was itching so bad I had to wash it. Oh my god.
Not you being like, get this shit out of
my head. I wash my hair. I was going crazy. I had to wash it.
Screaming,
back in, but Jesus.
You couldn't just, you know, do the little pat.
No, it was driving me crazy. I needed to get in there. I needed,
or you could have got a rat tail comb or something.
I needed acrylics. I had to go. I'm gonna put it back in, but Lord have mercy.
I just noticed it since we're talking about hair. I was like, wait a minute, how did you go from that? Like, it was like dang, it was like dang. You didn't even have a bit like that for real.
Oh no, I took that like the day after.
And you said no. Oh god, no.
Like a motherfucker.
No.
And all that hair, and I'm trying to sleep. Oh, I have to take it out.
If you ever get a corporate job or some shit, I feel like you'd be like, hey, I'm not coming in tomorrow. And they're gonna be like, why? You're gonna be like, I'm sick. Next day, come in with no braids. They're gonna be like, oh, you changed your hair. Really? No, I didn't do anything different.
We'll be going to HR.
screaming. But no, I think there was like a little bit of like, you know, a little bit of wave. There was a little bit of like, you know.
A body wave, maybe.
Brazilian beach wave.
Yeah, the beach wave she got.
Screaming. She got the ripple.
I guess she got a little perm.
Not a little perm. Goodbye. Bye.
Got her little perm.
Bye. Bye. All right. So.
To perms on this show.
We don't talk about perms on this show after. After, you know, yes, why is every episode that you're on, we end up resorting to talking about hair?
I know.
If it's not the piece of wig that you tried telling me was okay, or, oh, actually, Soups, when we were at Motor City Comic Con, we were explaining to, we're talking about the Birds of Prey issue. For those who listen on the regular, you know what I'm talking about, which... This is no diss to the artist, and no diss to Birds of Prey. Go check out Birds of Prey, 100%. But Yaz brought up her thoughts, and Yaz, do you want them to, do you want me to tell the Soups what your thoughts was on Wonder Woman's hair in that one issue? Do you want to do it?
I didn't like her relaxer. I'm sorry, I didn't like her relaxer. I didn't bring back the curls. I didn't like the relaxer.
Well, they're back, but like.
Well, they are back.
The relaxer? You said she got a... Wait a minute.
You said I'm going to sit these curls down.
Wait a minute. What if Wonder Woman, she gets a relaxer, she want to do like a little straight bust down, and then she get back under the purple ray and bring her curls back?
David.
Yep, or no. Maybe Nubia taught her that trick. Maybe Nubia was like, girl, let me put you onto this. Don't tell the other Amazons, though. Don't tell Hippolyta. Don't tell Hippolyta. Don't tell Donna or Yara or Cassie. It's just me and you. don't tell them. It's okay. Don't tell them. Listen. Screaming.
It always goes back to him.
Every time. Every time. Okay. All right. So let's get into the crown jewel, or like the most famous book in our little roster of books that we're picking for this FMK. We got Saga, issue number one. And... I enjoy Saga. I do. I love this issue. It was fun. It was cute. I forgot how vulgar it was because there's just like a little titty. There's titty on one panel, and I'm like, okay, all right, free the nipple. Love that. King Robot getting it in. Okay, all right.
Barely, right.
Not barely. Dude, anyways. Sure. No, what was your initial thoughts on that first issue of Saga? Because this is your first time like reading it, right? Or did you read it before?
Yeah, this is my first time. You know, I'd say I'm going to read something and I never get around to it. But this time I did. And I really did enjoy it. It's different from the stuff I usually read, which is good. I don't want to say, I don't mean different in a bad way. But it was really different. I did like it a lot. It was very interesting and weird, but I'm never opposed to weird.
Okay. So thoughts on Fiona Staples' art, because like I love her art. I do.
Yeah.
I love her art. I feel like this issue didn't really give the greatest, like, okay, art was good, but it didn't show. If this is your first time seeing her art, it doesn't show you everything that she's able to do. And I think that's, you know, I feel like that's honestly almost always the case for a lot of different stories, depending on the artist. Like, sometimes you got to get to that second issue for them to get, like, a moment where it's like, oh, okay, yeah, right. Yeah, you can cook. You can cook.
Right.
Still good, but I feel like that's one of the things with it. But, yeah, what was your thoughts on the art?
I really did like the art. That, they had a few, like, that, first of all, that giant fucking turtle scared the shit out of me. That was scary as fuck to me. And that, what was that, a dog? A cat?
The lion cat?
I did like the lion cat. That was really cute. But that big one, when they walked into that, wherever they were, that big thing with the fist. You know what I'm talking about.
With Damon. The fist?
Damon.
Wait a minute. I got the book right here.
The thing they blew up. That this.
Oh. Oh. Oh my God.
That was horrifying.
Was it though?
Yes, it was.
It was not horrifying. It was kind of cute.
Yes, it was. Just think of seeing that in real life. Yes, it is.
I would be disgusted.
I'm getting immersive. I was the one who blew it up. It was scary to me.
Bye. It was all right. It was okay. It was not scary to me. It was a little gross, though. Kind of surprised that he was like, why did you sacrifice that gorgeous creature or something like that? I wouldn't go that far. Hold on.
I wouldn't say all that.
And, okay, so for those of you who haven't read Saga or heard of Saga, where have you been? Everybody's talked about Saga. Come on now. Saga is honestly an epic space opera / fantasy comic book. It is written by Brian K. Vaughan and illustrated by Fiona Staples. And of the books that we're covering on this FMK episode, it is one that is still ongoing to this day. And yeah, like in all honesty, this book is... I like this first issue. I like this first issue a lot. It got me invested.
Yeah, I was invested from like page one. I'm like, what? I was like, yeah, I'm seated.
The first sentence got you when she said, "Am I shitting?" It feels like I'm shitting because that was the first.
I was like, what are we doing already?
Like the first page, Soups is literally Alana. So long story short, this is a world that's full of weird shit. So think of it's in the future, but there's aliens, but not aliens. There's magic, but then there's science, but is. Like when they say this is a space opera, that's what this is. Like is there magic? Is there science? Is there sci-fi? Yes.
Right.
But how could, yes. That's the best way to describe it. But long story short, you got two planets. One is called Landfill. I'm assuming that's kind of like Earth, which garbage. Okay, I guess. The other one is like their moon. So on the moon, you got the people with the horns and the magic. And then you got the ones with the wings on Earth called Landfill. And the ones with the wings, they're not the ones that are magically inclined. They're the ones that are technologically inclined. Then you got the horns who are magically inclined. So magic versus science. And then we have our two main characters who are on opposing teams and they fall in love and have a love child and they are so horny for each other in this first issue.
Yeah.
For no damn reason. But you know what? I like it. I'm rooting for them.
Right. Good for them.
I am rooting for them.
They're cute.
And so they're on the run. They're defending their newborn daughter. Yes, what's your thoughts on the name Pico?
Absolutely not. Pico? The guy of Pico?
Listen, I didn't understand why she was like, Pico is it's a cute name. What do you mean Pico is a cute name? What?
Pico. Like, right.
Okay.
Right.
I do like the touch that the entire book is like told, like narrated, from the baby's POV, and we learn like at the end of the story that her name is gonna be Hazel. But I'd say it's a cool little, you know, like nice little introduction. Then you got Prince Robot IV, who was struggling to keep it up.
Ooh, that was amazing.
You know what? I wish him the best. I wish Prince Robot the best. bless his heart, because like I kind of did feel bad. I was like, damn, you really been through a lot. But at the same time, I was like, oh. So okay, off of this first issue, what was a couple of like cool moments that you liked in this?
First of all, the baby being born with horns, that that was kind of giving me Rosemary's Baby. It was giving me Rosemary's Baby. But trying to think. First of all, I really did like that lion cat. That reminded me of Bubastis from Watchmen. I thought that was
okay, cool. Okay.
And let me see. The whole space, I love space shit, especially in media. So anything that gives me a Star Wars, Dune, Star Trek, anything like that. Any weird space shit, yeah, I'm seated. Let me see. There was this. Well, first of all, at the end, the fighting, the giant turtle and that roach looking thing, that was cool as fuck.
Wait a minute. Turtle and the roach looking thing? Hold on, let me look.
It's a giant. When they're like trying to.
This is great. This was great. I love her. But yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a roach or is that like a, it looked like a little stingray?
I don't know what it is. It's nasty and it gives me the creepy crawlies.
But I just, you know, I liked this a lot. I think it was a nice little introduction to like really tell you what this is going to be about. And the comedy is what really got me. The comedy in this book is so funny. Like, especially when like he described the dude that ratted them out as a grease monkey. And then you literally see it's a literal grease monkey, like a monkey that works in the mechanic shop. I'm like, oh. The subtlety. I'm here for the subtlety. I am. I'm so here for the subtlety. I'm here for it.
Something about talking monkeys is just so
different. Good to know that you couldn't go see Planet of the Apes. Yes.
Apes is so stupid.
No, it is not. What? Those movies is dope. Those are some good ass movies. Those are some good ass movies.
I believe you. Have you seen the new one? Did the new one come out already?
It did. We went to go see it. It was really good. Like, it was really good. Go see that, Yaz, because I want to talk to you about that shit, because that movie made me irritated.
Really?
You finna know why. If you go see it, you'll know why. Actually made me and Marcus irritated over a certain character.
How long is it? Like 2 hours?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go see it. Maybe I'll.
But then again, did you watch the other ones, though?
Huh?
Did you watch the other ones?
I watched. How many movies is there now?
3. This is the 4th one.
I've seen the first one, obviously, but that was when it came out in like what, 2009?
11. 10? Yeah.
11. I saw. So the first one is Planet of the Apes, and then what's the second one? Dawn of the Planet.
No. Okay, so the first one. Don't worry about the other ones, older ones. Look at the 2011 one. So it's Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Second one is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Third one is War of the Planet of the Apes.
No, I ain't seen that.
Yeah.
I think I've seen the first two. Yeah, but that was when they came out. So.
Go ahead and watch those again, because I watched them again recently. I have thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts about those movies. Some thoughts I can't necessarily say on air, but
I don't know what that means.
All I gotta say is that movie was great. I think you should go check it out, and we will talk about it. We will. Hell, we may even do a Planet of the Apes comic.
Okay.
They do got those.
Right. Okay.
You better post about it on your little Instagram, too.
Okay,
but back to Saga. All right. Final thoughts. This was a great introduction. Loved it, and it piqued my interest. So let's get down into the ranking progress. Yes, you go first.
Yeah.
Which one is your F?
Damn. This is three good ones.
Which is your F? And the criteria is, you know, it's good. My interest is peaked. I kind of want to go further, but I'm not pressed. Not pressed. If I don't go ahead and move forward, I'm okay with it. As long as I got to read this first one, I'm good.
I think I'll go with the child.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. You know something? I'm sitting up here saying really meanwhile I'm thinking about it now, and I'm like, actually, you know, I kind of agree. Even though, like, I like that one a lot. I do.
Well, damn. I forgot the last option was kill. Let me see. Damn. You know what? I'll go with the unknown soldier.
Okay. You're fucking unknown soldier. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I would say for me, it would have... Ooh. Oh.
Right. Exactly.
Damn.
Right.
Shit, this is the problem with some three good ones. Shit. You know, I'm going to change mine. Mine's going to kind of be like yours then, because I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, Unknown Soldier, my interest is piqued primarily because of the subject matter, and I'm genuinely curious as to where it's going to go. And it's an Eisner-nominated book. And I also meant to bring this up, but one of the ads in that book actually got me kind of like interested in looking at something else too, because one of the ads said there was a book called Incognito.
Yeah.
Did you get that ad in yours? You got that? Yeah, I wrote that down. I was like, oh. And then they talked about Strange Fruit. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a damn minute. I kind of want to look into this book. I'm curious.
Let's see if I can find it. I was like,
Incognito. Shit, that's me whenever I go under the Incognito page, though.
The ads in this was really great.
It was.
I was like, am I reading this right?
Mm-mm. But, okay, I would say, shit. I would give the F to Unknown Soldier. Like, I actually am going to probably look back and look into it. Mainly because I'm really invested. Like, I'm interested. I am. I feel like it might be something that I may not get to super fast, but I'm invested. Let's go to the Mary. I'm marrying Saga.
Same.
Like, maybe it's me being biased because I am already interested in the book. Mm. And it's wholesome, but it also has the vulgarity that I like and the violence I like, but it's also still kind of a wholesome story. Yeah. And I really don't want to. I don't want to kill. I don't want to kill Voodoo Child because I liked it.
Yeah, but that's the rules.
Damn. You know what? Could I kill it and resuscitate it though?
Well, yeah. Yeah, you can actually.
Not well. Well, yes.
Maybe a screaming. Strangle. Like, it'll...
Wait a minute, not a strangle. So like a little strangle? Okay.
Yeah, a little unconscious.
Just like, you know, pass bit. Out, like you know, pass yeah. out and come back? Yeah, okay.
A little bit of brain damage. In your
body. Okay. All right, we love that. We love that for that. That I guess that's what we got. So, fuck Unknown Soldier. Marry Saga, and kill but resuscitate Voodoo Child. All right, well, you guys heard it here first, Soups. This is going to be, and possibly, maybe, a new little segment that Yaz and I do on the show. So, who knows? Let's know your thoughts. But, as always... Are you guys interested in checking out these books? Have you already checked them out? Let us know in the comments. I'm genuinely curious. Or if you got any recommendations of books to cover on this new little segment called FMK, be sure to let me know on Instagram at Super Saturdays Podcast, TikTok at Super Saturdays Pod, and Twitter at Super Saturday PC. where all of your messages, comments, and reviews can make their way on the show. As always, this is Super Saturdays. I'm Damon.
I'm Yasmin. Bye.
All right. And where can the Supes find you, Yas?
You can find me on Twitter, mostly at Yasmin's Room. I'm always tweeting all day, so.
All right. Well.
Find me there.
As always, Supes. See you next Saturday.